Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu. Stands one of the hymn, Hark a Thrilling Voices Sounding, sung by the Children's Choir of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Well, that voice is personified, isn't it, in the New Testament? There in the Old Testament, the voice is predicted, it speaks. And there in the New Testament, that voice actually appears, sounds out literally from the wilderness, word for word. Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths, and there's John the Baptist. Now, the season of Advent, which the church has recently begun, focuses a lot on John the Baptist. Why is that? And who is he? We're going to be talking about John the Baptist. Joining us on this Monday afternoon, December the 1st, Pastor Jim Remke. He's pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Camel Hair Covered John. Jim, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. Great to be back.
Why is he such a prominent figure in the season of Advent?
Well, our Lord Jesus Christ didn't come on a whim. He didn't come in a vacuum of separate from all time and all places. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of God's holy word and of prophecy. And John was part of this prophecy, that there would be one, a voice crying in the wilderness. Without a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, Jesus couldn't be properly called our Messiah because he wouldn't then be the fulfillment of all the prophets. And John plays that very important role. John is a part of God's redemptive work for us because John prepares our hearts to repent. The kingdom of heaven is near at hand to us, and Jesus Christ comes bringing that kingdom of heaven to us by his sacrifice.
So are you saying we during Advent we kind of do it the way Scripture does it? That is, just as Scripture provides a John before Jesus, the season of Advent turns our ears first to John as we prepare to receive Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. The church does what any loving and kind mother does to her children. The church teaches her children what to look for, what to expect. The church teaches us what God says. The church isn't a place where we go to have our felt needs met, so to speak, but it's a place where we're brought into God's family. And the church, acting very much as our mother, teaches us what God's family ought to know, and that is that Jesus is the promised Messiah, who was promised would also have a forerunner who would come before him, preparing the way. And so the church teaches us, your brother John, who also believed in Jesus Christ, was part of this prophecy. So Jesus isn't just some kind of a flash-in-the-pan prophet, or he's not some kind of made-up Messiah. He is the real deal, and John teaches us this.
So this is, it sounds like what you're saying is this establishes John kind of being the final voice of the prophets, establishes that Jesus is not just another prophet in a long line of prophets after whom we might expect more. He's the fulfillment itself.
Certainly. And Jesus, our Lord, even says about John, he is Elijah, the one who was promised. I mean, God had promised that Elijah would come back. And Jesus saying, if you're able to hear, this is Elijah, this John. And it's not just John. I mean, scriptures are so full of Jesus fulfilled. I mean, just this first Sunday in Advent, when we see, behold, your king comes to you lowly and riding on a donkey and the colt of a donkey. This is also prophecy. Advent is teaching us time and time again, this Jesus, this child born in the manger that we celebrate, isn't just It's not a fairy story. It's not about the magic of Christmas. It's not about families. It's not about feeling good and enjoying this special time of year with presents and whatnot. It's teaching us that this Jesus is who he says he is, and we can trust in him because he is the fulfillment of all of God's promises to us. And John the Baptist stands there in the wilderness, pointing out to him. As St. Andrew's Day yesterday, when he saw Jesus, John told his disciples, Andrew being one of them, "Behold the Lamb of God." John doesn't want anyone to be looking at him, but always look at Jesus, who is the fulfillment of all prophecy. And I, as the last prophet here standing, am telling you, kind of a bridge between the Old Testament and the New Testament, look to Jesus. He fills it all perfectly.
The term that we use, of course, and you used it as well, forerunner, what would you say about that term?
Well, I prefer it because there's kind of a lot of baggage. I remember when I was a kid and I heard about John the Baptist. I always assumed that, you know, maybe a lot of kids do, that John went to First Baptist Church down the street, and that's why you've got Baptists and we're Lutherans because of Luther. I think forerunner is a little bit better because it's showing John's prophetic role. John isn't coming to give the people a new law to be fulfilled as though John's baptism were some kind of a new law. John isn't coming to teach the people what to do to make God happy. He's coming as one who prepares the way. That is, he is the one, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, and this is where we get this term, the forerunner. He is running before Jesus, kind of as a sentry would go out before a king, or you know, someone who makes the official announcement. The king is here. He's running before Jesus to tell us, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand.
John the Baptist, obviously, and I want to talk a little bit more about this later, about how he is, as you said at the very beginning, how he is written into Scripture as part of the delivery of Christ. But let's talk about how John is delivered. His birth is far from ordinary.
Yeah, and he is one of, I believe, if I remember my church year correctly, the only other figure in Scripture's history that we celebrate his nativity. Is John the baptizer and forerunner. And he's born in a very seemingly miraculous way, not, to be sure, in the same way as our Lord Jesus Christ. He had two earthly parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth, both very elderly. Zechariah served as a priest, and his wife Elizabeth had both been, they'd been barren for their whole lives, no children. And when John is doing his priestly duties, the angel appears to him and tells him he'll have a child. And in John's unbelief, the angel kind of says, okay, you didn't believe me, so no more talking. You won't talk until the child is born, and when the child is born, you'll tell his kinsmen that his name is John. And so this is how John is born then. And we've got, of course, while John is in his mother's womb, this kind of, we wouldn't call it miraculous, because, of course, we know that the babies can believe in Jesus Christ. But this beautiful confession that John makes in the mother of his womb, when he hears the voice of the mother of our Lord, he leaps with joy because he knows he's in the presence of his salvation, not in Mary, but in the child Jesus whom she bears.
So there is already there in that encounter, the visitation that you've just described between Mary and the mother of John the Baptist, Elizabeth, there's already there the acknowledgement of these two men in the womb, mm-hmm. of who's really meeting here. I mean,
exactly.
It is Mary and Elizabeth, but it is the first meeting of John and Jesus too.
Yeah, and John is already fulfilling his title as being a forerunner. This is something that is strange. Certainly, it's not the everyday, just a baby moving around in its mother's womb, but enough so that the writers of Holy Scripture took note of this, that John leapt in his mother's womb just to be that near to the source of his salvation. That is a beautiful confession that our Lord Jesus Christ comes for all human life, from the moment of conception, while they're in the mother's womb, after birth, and throughout their life. Jesus came to put on our flesh, that we might live in him.
He even gets a prophecy pronounced over him at his birth.
He does.
His father, Zacharias, sings this famous song we call the Benedictus, but It even speaks directly to the child. Tell us about that, Pastor M.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful hymn of the church. And at my parish where I serve now, it's our tradition to, since the Gloria in Excelsis is usually omitted during the Advent season, we replace it with a Benedictus, a reminder to us that John is the forerunner. And it starts out so beautifully, "You, my child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way." I mean, right there, this is why he's called the forerunner. The prophet, not a normal prophet, but the prophet of the Most High. And this is a confession of who Jesus Christ is, that the Most High humbles himself to come to us. And again, I mean, Zechariah is tying his son John, is very firmly placing John and making a confession to all who would hear that this child, I'm not saying this because he's my son and I love him and I'm proud of him. I'm saying this because God loves me and God is fulfilling his word for me. He is going to send me in my old age, in my disbelief, he's going to send me a savior. And my son is proof of this because he is the fulfillment of part of God's holy word.
He talks about the knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercies of our God. Talk about that part of the prophecy, that kind of immediate prophecy regarding the infant John the Baptist.
Yeah, what a beautiful thing to say that you're holding a little child. No one would say this in singing about a child, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. But again, as our Lord Jesus said, when if these were silent, even the very rocks would cry out about me. And here, this is what Zechariah is doing. He cannot help but proclaim the wonders and the glory of God, that God would save us, not because of our own works. He's not coming to show us how to do things right. He's coming to give us knowledge of salvation, and that comes from the forgiveness of our sins, not from the cessation or the stopping of our sins, because we can't do that in our flesh. He says, "I am going to send one to you who will forgive your sins." And this is the knowledge of salvation. I mean, even here at this child's birth, and this is what is such a beautiful thing about Advent, is we've got something so much more beautiful than what's admittedly beautiful, a tiny baby. That's a wonderful blessing and a great gift. But we have something even more beautiful to celebrate at Advent, and that is that this little baby has come into the world, God in our flesh, to save us from our sins, to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And this is what is most certainly on John's mind when he's calling out in the wilderness, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." This is most certainly what's on his mind, that he's preparing the way to give knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins. And Jesus Christ, then, is the tender mercy of our God and this sunrise that shall visit us from on high.
Pastor Jim Remke is our guest. We're talking about John the Baptist on this Monday afternoon, December the 1st. He's pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness titled "Camel Hair Covered John." We'll talk about the beginning of John's own prophetic ministry, his baptizing ministry, right after this.
Christ Jesus, the image of the invisible God. For unto us a child is born. The titles of Christ, Good News of Great Joy, the Magnificat. These are some of the Christ-focused themes offered by Ad Crucem this Christmas. Shop adcrucem.com for greeting cards, gifts, housewares, ornaments, music, and much, much more. Available from adcrucem.com, confessing the faith through word and art. adcrucem.com, adcrucem.com.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub, your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Hi, this is Pastor Mark Azil, the LCMS Director of Campus Ministry and LCMSU, inviting all college students and those with an interest in campus ministry to join us for Taboo, the 2015 National LCMS Campus Ministry Conference, this coming January 5th through 7th at St. Louis University in St. Louis. That's right, it's Taboo in the Lou. Find out more at lcms.org/LCMSU.
Are you planning a corporate luncheon, a theme party, or an anniversary celebration? Lunch for the Bunch Catering has been serving Greater St. Louis for more than 15 years with professional staff, appealing presentation, and culinary excellence. Find out more at lunchforthebunch.com or call 618-344-1921. 618-344-1921. Lunch for the Bunch in O'Fallon, Illinois. Lunchforthebunch.com.
Your daily Lutheran Bible class. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
First Heating and Cooling is a third-generation, family-owned company and has been serving the Metro East for decades. First is a Lennox and GeoComfort geothermal dealer and services all makes and models of heating and cooling systems. Now is the time for your heating system checkup. Whether it's service or maintenance for your existing heating or cooling system or a whole new system, you need to call Ernst Heating and Cooling. Call them at 618-633-2244 or ErnstHeating.com. Ernst Heating and Cooling, Hamel, Illinois.
Are you concerned that nativity scenes aren't being displayed in public places? Why not display one at your church or your home? The Outdoor Nativity Store produces durable, affordable, and American-made outdoor nativities for Christians around the world. To view a variety of nativity sets, visit OutdoorNativityStore.com. These nativities will hold up under the harshest weather conditions, snow, ice, and wind. The Outdoor Nativity Store. OutdoorNativityStore.com. Stands one of the hymn, Prepare the Royal Highway, sung by the Children's Choirs of St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We're talking about John the Baptist. He figures prominently in the New Testament at the beginning of Jesus' ministry and abruptly exits the scene, and prominently in the life of the church during the Advent season and elsewhere in the church here as well. Pastor Jim Remke is our guest. Pastor Remke, how would you describe John's appearance on the scene, so to speak? He appears before Jesus, that is sometime before Jesus' public ministry begins. And he seems, as you said at the beginning, he seems integral to Jesus' introduction to Israel. If John doesn't show up to point to Jesus, then in essence, that has to happen before Jesus can show up.
Certainly. And John shows up in such an unusual way, this kind of crazy camel hair covered guy who's been living out in the wilderness eating honey and locusts. And I mean, his whole appearance, everything about him is preaching a message to the people. I mean, this camel hair is kind of a sign of repenting of your sins, of repentance, and his locusts and honey. I mean, here, I mean, he's eating essentially what is a law and gospel sermon. And he's eating the locusts, which have a sign of God's wrath. A plague of locusts is not something you want, and a plague of locusts is something that God has used to punish people for their sins in the past. And then the honey, always connected with kind of God's promise of deliverance to a promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And so here comes this guy out of the wilderness. No doubt he's got locust legs stuck in his beard with the honey, and he's a mess. But people listen to him because he's sent by God. They have no other choice. I mean, you listen when God speaks, and God is speaking here through John the Baptist. And when this man, who's wearing and eating his sermon, comes to the people and says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Many people repent. They wash themselves, are washed by him in a baptism that signifies that they are sorrowful for their sins. That points to a baptism that our Lord gives us that does more than just signifies that we're sorry for our sins. It washes away our sins. And so here comes John. And I love that the beginning of Advent and St. Andrew's Day are so close, because here we've got John again kind of held to the forefront on St. Andrew's Day. Andrew, as I said before, a disciple of John, and John doesn't tell him when Andrew says, who is this man, this Jesus? John doesn't say, no, just stay with me, guys. I mean, you're my disciples, and I've done a lot of work with you, and, you know, you've got a lot more to go. John says, no, this is the Lamb of God. This is the one you've been looking for. This is the Christ. Go to him. And then we have Andrew going to him and bringing along his brother Simon Peter as well. And this is what any good preacher, any good forerunner of Christ would do, is point to Christ, show people what Christ has done for them, that they may go and receive from Christ the blessings that he comes to bring them.
He is also the one who baptizes our Lord, something which he objects to doing initially, but then is... He's convinced by Jesus himself. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, certainly. I mean, our Lord comes to John and would be baptized by him, and John says, I'm not worthy to untie the strap of your sandal. You should be baptizing me. But John again shows us what a good and faithful servant does. He listens to what our Lord says. He does what our Lord says. And in so doing, he fulfills he makes it able for our Lord Jesus to fulfill all righteousness. That is, our Lord Jesus Christ then makes all water a joyful and blessed washing from sins at his baptism, not because Jesus has any sins to be washed away. Jesus didn't need this baptism, but here we see what we receive at baptism because Jesus has endured all things for us. We now also are called sons and daughters of God because of baptism. Just as that voice that opened up and boomed from heaven, this is my beloved son. So now we are called beloved sons and daughters because of Christ's work and because of John's assistance in that work. John is forerunning and facilitating that work. Not that God needs that to be done, but this is how God said it would be done. And so we also receive the Holy Spirit in baptism, just as the Spirit descended upon our Lord Jesus Christ in the form of a dove. And so this is a beautiful thing. And John says here, you know, you don't need this, Lord, but if this is what this is what you would do, I am your faithful servant, and I will do it.
Now he goes before Christ in all things. He goes the way first, prepares the path for him. Does that include John's death?
Well, most certainly. Most certainly. And the one thing, again, John is pointing to Christ, a forerunner of Christ, as he's sitting there waiting to have his head taken from his shoulders by this wicked Herod, the king who would do this. His disciples come to him, and he says, go, ask this Jesus if he's the one who is to come or if we should look for another. Now, it's unclear. Maybe John is doing this for himself. Maybe he's had a moment of doubt, but regardless of the case, here he's giving Jesus a chance to point to the other prophecies that he fulfills, because our Lord Jesus says, go and tell John what you see. The lame are walking, the blind see, the deaf have their ears opened, the mute speak, and the gospel of good news is preached, the forgiveness of sins is preached to people. And so even in his death, John teaches us, what do we do when death comes to us, when suffering, when doubts, when torments come to us? We look to Jesus, who is faithful and trustworthy. And Jesus says, it's okay if you need to ask me. It's okay if you need to ask me if I'm the one who is to come, because I am. And so John, in his death, teaches us to look to Christ, who would die for us, and to look to Christ and to expect, really, to not be perplexed when our Lord Jesus Christ is nailed to a cross. Why should we doubt this? Scripture has foretold this. And just as he was necessary in his work as a forerunner, so also Jesus has come fulfilling all things and would die a cursed death on a cross for our sins.
Finally, then, with only a minute here, Pastor Remke, Jesus says of John that he is the greatest man born of woman, and yet John says that is Jesus must increase, I must decrease. What is there in John's testimony?
Well, it's right there. You see, no matter how great you think you may be, no matter how much you think you've done for the kingdom of God, no matter how much your works may have brought others to the knowledge of salvation, Jesus Christ is the knowledge of salvation, not us, not our works, not our great deeds or abilities. And so Jesus is here kind of saying, look at John was a great man, and John saying, as a great man, I'm telling you, look to Jesus. He's even better. He is not just a great man. He is our life and our salvation, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
Pastor Jim Remke is pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Kenosha, Wisconsin. He's authored an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Camel Hair Covered John. Jim, thank you very much for being our guest.
It was my pleasure, Todd. Blessings on this Advent season to you.
When we come back, Bishop James Heiser is going to join us. We're going to be talking with him about Christianity and space exploration. Then, in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., we will spend some time with Pastor Tom Baker teaching a Sunday school lesson on the Annunciation, the angel Gabriel visiting the Virgin Mary in Luke chapter 1.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Clark, it's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
Maybe getting a faithful pastor seems as exciting as a membership in the Jelly of the Month Club, but that kind of thinking can lead to the unbiblical removal of pastors from the office of the Holy Ministry, the topic of our next ACELC conference, February 10th through 12th in Kansas City, Missouri. Register at acelc.net because faithful pastors really are a gift that keeps on giving. See why at acelc.net.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muscoda, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues, Etc. Zion is a congregation firmly grounded in God's grace given in the Word and Sacraments, where we treasure the timeless beauty of the liturgy. Zion is also a vibrant, young, family-friendly congregation where you would be warmly welcomed. Zion is located at 101 South Railway Street in Muscoda, Illinois, and we would love to share God's gifts of grace with you. For more information, please visit our website at zionmuscoda.com.